It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? Now, I know y'all did not think I was going to let the very first game of the NFL season go by and not drop some bars for you. Like, seriously, you really thought you were just going to get the divisional breakdowns? Ha! Too much happened last night, and I really could not let the day go by without talking about it. So I had to do a double show today. And since I don't like talking to myself, of course I had to call my brother, my family. Even though I'm not in Miami, he's still my family. What up, Omar?
What's up, Meek?
Omar.
Did I do it? Yes, ma'am.
Omar, yes. I have to thank you for waking up, because I know you were on 6 to 10 this morning covering for Joe Rose, I presume. He's in Seattle?
Always a pleasure. I'm headed out to Seattle tomorrow morning.
Well, thank you.
Long flight.
Yes, long flight. Make sure that you get you some nice, good alcohol in your system. You'll do just fine. Get you a nice couple of drinks, whatever you like. The flight doesn't seem that long when you're having cocktails, I'm telling you. Start talking it to your neighbors and just make it, you know, like almost like a little vacation. Like you're at a bar, a random bar somewhere. You just make a conversation. But thanks for joining me, because I really wanted to break down this game, and not just the game, but because it was really a great game. You know, 21-20. Opening the season, you know, Super Bowl repeat. It was a really, really good game, you know, but there were some other things that happened in the game, so I'm definitely going to talk about that. But let's start with just the game. Everybody's saying, how do you pronounce his name? Semen? Is it really like semen, like jizz?
I don't even know. Can't even tell you, to be honest.
I think it's semen, like S-E-M-E-N, but it's not spelled that way, but it's semen. Everybody's saying he had an incredible game, and granted, he got a W, his first, you know, NFL start, which is amazing, but the game was very basic to me. What did you think?
I think that's about what you can expect from season openers. I mean,
Cam Newton didn't look basic.
Who's bringing out the kitchen sink in their first game? I mean, even though teams have had a long time to work on it, considering nobody plays their real players before the exhibition game, it's about as basic as you're going to get for a game. But it was an impressive game. It was one of those defensive efforts that I know both you and I liked. Not everybody else, but you and I liked.
Well, I don't...
Man,
the defense got out of it. And that's why I said that the Broncos won the game. It wasn't. People were saying that Seaman beat Cam Newton. And I was like, no, the Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers, what happened, because Seaman's game to me wasn't impressive. And you're saying it's because they didn't show all their playbook? Why would you go into a game and almost lose because you don't want to show all of your playbook?
I don't think it's about showing all your playbook. I just don't think everybody is completely up to speed. When you play that season opener, I don't think you're really, you know, running at full stride. Like you're not even out of third gear. I mean, you're not even out of third gear at that point. I think in the season opener, you haven't even everything on the table for some of these players. You're just trying to go out there and have them play on adrenaline and have them get used to the speed of the game. I mean, this is really the first time that most of those starters have really, really played.
But the thing is, Omar, I understand what you're saying, and the whole situation of getting into game shape and all that stuff takes time. But you can see whether or not somebody's a baller. And I didn't see baller. I didn't see bum. I didn't see, oh, my God, he's going to be the worst in the league. But I didn't see anything that told me he was any better than Goff or Wentz or any of those guys.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything in his skill. I don't care about what the play calling was and all that. Skill is what we should be looking at. And I saw a guy that isn't going to lose games this season. I mean, he's probably going to have some rookie mistakes and all that, but I didn't see anything special. And a lot of people were trying to call him special.
He's a facilitator, as is most quarterbacks that play again with. I mean, they've had a physical running game. They've got a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
All they need is a quarterback who can facilitate and just get the job done. Don't turn it over. I think that's – don't turn it over. Be good in the red zone. I think that's a recipe for success for most NFL teams.
Yeah, you're right. And me personally, if somebody said I had an incredible game and I was, you know, looking really dope and I only scored 21 points – I would feel some type of way about myself, personally. I would be like, yeah, but that was just 21. The league average last year was 23. So it's like, yeah, it was his first game, but get off his dick because he didn't do anything special to where you should be on his dick is how I feel about it.
Yeah, C.J. Anderson did, you know, he toted the rock.
Yeah.
Their defense, I mean, man, they were punishing. I that's the first time I've been in the Super Bowl because I think the Super Bowl, Carolina really got in their own way.
Yeah, this was the Super Bowl game right here. And they still won. Yeah, Broncos still won.
That was the first time I'd really seen a recipe of how you beat Cam Newton. You just absolutely punish him. Keep throwing haymakers at him. And eventually the head of the snake will fall off. And it, you know, those hits, they were brutalized.
Yeah, you know what I always say? If you hit a quarterback in his back, that sends an alarm goes off because you can hit his knee, you can hit his leg, his arm. A lot of things can happen. But when you hit a quarterback in his back, suddenly he's cowering. Suddenly he's afraid for the next one because a back hit is intense. Intense, especially for a guy that can't see his blind side and is expected to throw the ball down the field. Like,
yeah.
The back hit is what really rattled his cage, I believe, and I saw a little bit of a shook Cam, like he was kind of shook a little bit. Not
you know what?
I've
never heard you say that, but I've never really thought about it. And I think that the more you hit a quarterback, and Brady's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in one good time,
yeah,
all
and
of
if
a
it's
sudden,
his back, it's even worse.
Yeah. All of a sudden, when you get them one good time, they're rushing that throw a little bit. The footwork mm-hmm. is just a little bit off.
They're looking. They're second guessing if somebody's coming.
Yeah, that get them two good times. Oh, it's over. And that was Cam Newton. And I know he played pretty well, considering you know
right.
they were a field goal away from winning the game. But man, some of those hits were punishing, especially that fourth quarter hit where they. I mean, they got him real good. Yeah, helmet. So, you saw that head bobble up and down the field. I could have sworn you he was concussed. But
yeah, because
up.
He was on the ground. He was on his knees, and I think it was Olsen. Was it over there, like asking him if he was okay? Like, why do you think? First of all, I saw five helmet to helmets in the game, and what I'm hearing from people is that they were unintentional. They didn't look like they hurt that bad because they didn't hit him hard. And Cam's a big guy, so when you hit him, you got to hit him harder than that for it to affect him. So he didn't really get affected. What the fuck does that? See, I'm trying not to cuss as much because I want people to absorb the bars. Okay, start over, Miko. What does it matter whether it hurt or not if it was a helmet to helmet?
You know, it's interesting, and it's funny that you say that because this is the first time I've really thought about the concussion protocol and how the league wants people to think that they're really, you know, getting serious about concussions and protecting mm-hmm. the player and all that bullshit. Think about all the times a running back, you know, how we're going to protect the quarterback.
But not the running back.
We're clearly going to protect the quarterback because, you know, that's where the money is. That's our steak of the meal. But a tailback, how many times do you think he gets hit helmet to helmet?
A lot, and it's legal.
Yeah, and it's legal. You can just whack him upside his helmet however you like, and it's legal. But when you hit a quarterback helmet to helmet, there should be a process where they have to come off the field. And
yeah.
I've always remembered, you know, anytime you think that a player has suffered a concussion, they have to go through a concussion protocol and they're taking inside the lock, the tunnel, and all this kind of stuff. None of that happened with Cam.
Yeah, and didn't you tell me that somebody said they did 4 concussion tests on him?
Yes. One of the beat writers for the Charlotte Observer he wrote that according to the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton took and passed 4 concussion tests. One of the and explained where they all took place on the field.
Bullshit. I don't believe it. You know why I don't believe it? I don't believe it because I don't trust any NFL trainers, not an NFL doctor. I read a statement from the NFL that said that they have neurologists on the sideline, which they do. And the neurologist said that based on what they observed, they didn't see any hits that they thought would make a concussion. These same neurologists are the same guys.
Were they watching the game?
Apparently they were. But let me tell you who these guys are. I have to tell you and my listeners who these guys are. These are the guys that also agree that CTE has no relation to football, period. Those are these guys. These are the same guys that will go, if you get injured, they will have you do a surgery with their team doctor, and they will do whatever it is to patch you up as quick as possible and get you back on the field. I don't trust the trainers. I don't trust any of them because I'm about to get real nasty right now. So I hope the players are listening to me because this is for NFL players and this is for fans who might not know this as well. If a player gets injured, let's say someone gets injured, and I don't mean like he needed surgery or anything like that, but he's like down. He might take 3 or 4 weeks, rolled an ankle, hurt a back, shoulder, something like that. What if the guy's on the bubble or he's expendable, like they don't really, really need him, what they do is they get you healthy enough to get you back on the field and they get you to do some drills and catch some balls. So they can cut you. Once they get you on film doing any type of football movements and they can say you're no longer injured, then they will cut you so they don't have to pay you a severance package for an injury. So I don't trust any of those motherfuckers. None of them can be trusted. And you know who they remind me of? They remind me of what people call the quote-unquote good police. You know, these are the police that they don't go out of their way to cause any problems with anybody. They're not shooting anybody in the back. They're not extra paranoid. But what they also don't do is report what's really fucking happening. They don't talk about it. They just shut their mouth. And some of them might even participate or assist in building a bad, you know, police report. But they don't do any of the bad stuff. So they feel like they aren't bad. The trainers and the NFL doctors are all bad. They're all a part of the system. That's what it is.
Yep.
And so you can't tell me that I saw Brandon Marshall get hit not anywhere near as badly as Cam Newton got hit, and they sent him to the back for a concussion test. Cam Newton got hit 5 times helmet to helmet. They threw one flag. One. And then I think they took it back because he was in the box. Wasn't it a penalty on him?
That was the last one on the final drive. They overturned it.
Yes, how is an illegal intentional grounding equal to a hit in the head in the NFL? How the hell do those equate? How? Why was no one kicked out of the game? Why was nothing like what's going on? What am I missing?
Here's the thing that really disturbed me about that game. And especially nobody wants to see Cam Newton off the field on that final drive.
Right.
But you saw the helmet-to-helmet hit.
Right.
You saw him struggle to get up off the field. But here's the thing. They couldn't stop the game to put Cam through the concussion protocol.
Mm-mm, because it was too intense. It's too intense.
So are you going to put Derek Anderson on the field for those final drives, or are you going to let Cam finish it out?
Yeah, they're going to let Cam finish it out because they know that they need these ratings. They need this game to be incredible. They don't give a shit about Cam Newton. They don't care. And I heard a lot of reporters, and I knew this was going to happen. A lot of reporters were trying to talk about how he's so big that those hits didn't affect him. That's why he was able to keep playing. Like, how do you know if somebody has a concussion without giving him a concussion test right then? How do you know? How do you just gauge, you know what? He's got a big meatball head. So if you hit him 5 times, it's kind of like a 1. So we don't really need to test him. That's what I heard from people.
And think about it this way. At this point, considering how rigid it is to pass a concussion protocol test.
Yeah.
And some players can pass it in 1 week. It takes others like 3 weeks. And I had to talk to Matt Moore, who it took him 3 weeks to finally pass his concussion protocol test. Imagine the Carolina Panthers without Cam Newton for 3 weeks.
Mm.
Imagine a quarterback in the concussion protocol program and how much that impacts your games, how much that impacts the odds.
Talk about it, Omar.
Yeah. The system is rigged, and it's rigged in favor of the bettors and the bookies and the fantasy football players.
Yep.
So they can't have a Cam Newton sidelined for 3 weeks.
Why wouldn't they throw the flag to set the tone that this is not going to be tolerated is the question. Why was Cam Newton allowed to get hit this many times? I guarantee you, if Jesus Christ's son, a.k.a. Tom Brady, got hit one goddamn time, if somebody grazed his helmet, that dude is getting kicked out the game immediately. So what happened?
You know what?
What happened?
Here's the thing. Here's where I disagree with you on that.
Okay, tell me why.
They set the tone for the game. So they let it be known that we going to allow this. We're going to allow this. You can continue to do it. If you want to run your quarterback, yeah, but he's going to get leveled, and we're not going to call it.
So what are you saying, Omar? Are you trying to tell me that certain games you are going to be able to, you know, destroy somebody's brain, and then some games you're not? That's not consistency.
Yeah, I think it depends on the ref.
You can't do that. I was told by some Carolina players that these were the same refs from the Super Bowl. Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
Yeah. You know I got people everywhere. These are the same refs from the Super Bowl, and they're basically saying this is bullshit because it wasn't happening in the Super Bowl. Why was Cam hit 5 times in the helmet? Opening week. What are you saying to the rest of the league if game one on a Thursday night, you allow the previous season's MVP, almost went undefeated, went to the Super Bowl and lost. What are you telling the league if you allow Cam Newton to get helmet to helmet, cracked in his motherfucking skull 5 times, you throw one flag, take it back, and he lost the game, obviously. But what are you telling the league if they see that week one?
That it's going to be a physical season. You better buckle up.
And that the NFL doesn't care about CTE or the concussion protocol. That's all bullshit, what I've always been saying. You know, that they don't care. They're mad that these people are figuring out these diseases and these things that players are having because it's fucking with their money.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? The concussion protocol, when they got tough on the concussions and they put a specialist on the field, I mean, whose job and is being paid, I'm sure, $250 for that evening just to evaluate concussions. And we didn't see one time Cam Newton get evaluated.
Yeah, so when these alleged concussions happen, these concussion protocol tests happen, when? I watched the whole game.
Yeah.
I kept, and you know what the sickest, most disgusting part about this whole thing is? The entire world, which is social media, was talking about whether or not Cam had a concussion, and the live broadcasters never brought it up one fucking time, Omar. Not one time did either one of those assholes with the microphone clipped to their tie say, I wonder if they're going to do a concussion test. Nobody said it. What does that mean?
It means that everybody's in cahoots, including the people who are paid to broadcast the game, including the networks that are paying millions of dollars to have the game on television. They need Cam ratings to Cam Newton for ratings. That's what it is.
Yeah, so that means Miko's right. Miko's right about the shit she's been saying, is what it sounds like to me.
I don't know what to think about concussion protocol. I would really have to, you know, they've got to be transparent about it in terms of letting us know. And when I say us, I mean the media. They bring us in and they show us all these little changes that they make to the referees and the calls. Well, if you're going to cramp, you're going to get serious about concussions, you got to show us what takes place during this whole concussion protocol system for us to actually believe that you're getting serious about policing it.
And the sickest part is the players will lie, too. People don't even know this. A player will lie. Cam will probably lie and say, yes, I did 4 tests. I did one here. Whatever they tell them to do, they're going to say it because they want their job. There's not a lot of Kaepernicks out here, okay? Everybody wants their job. They want their endorsements. So you can't even believe a player sometimes if they say, yeah, I did the test and I passed, because there's a threat behind that. They always say in the locker room, are you a patient or are you a player? Because players get paid and patients get sent the fuck home. So you have to make a choice sometimes whether you even want to report a concussion because they threaten your job, because there's somebody waiting younger and cheaper right behind you waiting to take your spot. So you're almost like in a bad situation. Like, what do you do as a player when you know that your league is corrupt and you're not able to even say, hey, I really can't count to 10 right now?
I don't know if it's about count to 10, and I don't know if it's about corruption. No player wants to be injured. No player who's playing wants to be on the sidelines, not being there with his brother. So, yes, are they going to lie? Absolutely. Are they going to skirt the system? Are they going to try to beat the test? No doubt about it. But the question is, weren't these concussion protocols put in place to prevent this?
Yeah.
And when the game is on the line, and the star quarterback who's basically hands or the outcome of the game is in the balance suffers a concussion, but the game is on the line, are you going to put it on pause and wait to do the concussion protocol until after the game is over? And if that's the case for the quarterback, then why isn't that the case for everybody else?
I agree. I cannot. I mean, that's just exactly what it is. They're liars. They're liars.
Yeah.
We just need to call them what they are. They're liars. They don't care really if you're injured or not. They just did that concussion protocol to lie to us again.
You know what the NFL cares about? And remember, the NFL is a league of 32 billionaires. They care about raising their coffers from $9 billion to $10 billion,
yes.
However they can do it, and raising the stakes of their team from $1.1 million to $1.4 million. That's what they care about. It's the bottom dollar. And ultimately, concussion protocol is about protecting themselves from a billion-dollar lawsuit. It's not about protecting the players.
Wow. You know, that's true. What my question is, and my concern is, what the Carolina Panthers owner, I don't know his name, but does he really think that allowing Cam to suffer a brain injury, what if something happens where Cam's out for the rest of the season because they didn't do that test, and now the Carolina Panthers are going to lose this season? Do they ever think about the fact that winning is a way to generate funds and revenues? Why do they always take the whatever route of by any means necessary getting money as opposed to doing the right thing and trying to win? Why wouldn't the Carolina Panthers say, hey, this is wrong? Like, somebody should have gotten it kicked out of the game or something to protect Cam on their sideline. Why doesn't anybody do that? I'm saying after the second time that he got hit helmet to helmet and no flag, nothing happened, how come nobody on his sideline stood up for him is my question? Because those other three shouldn't have happened. Some are going to get missed. Here and there, a clip of the helmet. Sometimes, you know, refs aren't perfect. They miss things. But there were five. I counted all. There were legit five. And two of them, the dude jetted himself out to hit him. So what I'm saying is, why isn't the Carolina sideline concerned with losing Cam Newton? How is that a win for the organization if you lose Cam Newton to hits like that? How is that a win?
I think as long as Cam was portraying himself as if he's fine and he's tough and he's Superman and he can handle it, I don't think they made that much of an issue with it. I would think that maybe Carolina defenders should have gone out there and you know, I'm just thinking football-wise, taking a cheap shot at somebody.
Yeah, no retaliation whatsoever. You know what? I have to bring this up, okay? I have to bring this up for cultural purposes. I kind of believe nobody stood up for him because Cam said that we're all the same color under our skin. Do you remember that?
No.
So let me catch you up and everybody else that's listening. So about, you know, around the time the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that stuff was happening, Cam said, the reason everybody's hating me is not because I'm dancing and this and that, third, it's because I'm black. And they don't like seeing a black quarterback succeeding in the league that's pretty much dominated by white quarterbacks. You know, that's a true statement. And those aren't his exact words, but I'm just, you know, that's what he meant. Now, when you say that, and then a couple of weeks ago you say, I don't know why there's all this people saying that there's racism. There's no racism. There's not even racism in the NFL. We're all the same color under our skin. He said that. He said there's no racism. Especially in the NFL.
I don't know if there's racism in the NFL.
You don't think so?
In terms of players in the locker room and coaches, I think there's
I'm talking about in terms of the whole league and the way it's ran. The fact that they give the predominantly the most money to the quarterback, and they don't really like when a black quarterback is succeeding. Like that's an issue with some people. The quarterback position is generally a white position, Omar. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it is a white position, and it's been systematic throughout the years. And in fact, I started covering the league when systematically black quarterbacks were not accepted.
Yeah,
black quarterbacks were moved to other positions, athletic quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, there's systematic racism that has impacted the quarterback position. But ultimately, I think it's about winning. And
it's never been about winning, Omar. You can't tell me that this fucking game is about winning when a team would sit their running back so that he doesn't get his numbers so they don't have to pay him. You telling me the NFL is about winning and that type of shit is happening? Where a DN is getting benched on third and long so he don't get his sack, so he don't get his bonus? Are you serious right now? You think that this league is about winning?
Here's my argument about winning. You have a team like the Tampa Bay Bucks that selects Jameis Winston number one, knowing that he's got rape allegations, Brad Gates.
They are probably about winning.
But you know what?
They're about winning.
You know, he's a damn baller.
Yeah.
He's a damn baller.
And do you know what else? There's a whole league of people that think Jameis Winston shouldn't be in the NFL because he raped somebody, and he did not rape anyone. I mean, how do you even? They said he shouldn't be there because he stole crab legs. He didn't steal crab legs. We figured out that they were giving to him for free. Why do people hate him so much? Because he's black, okay? Because he raped a white girl in college, allegedly, is what they're saying. That's really what it's about, Omar. There is racism in the NFL. I'm so sorry to be the first person to tell you this, but I guarantee you that if Michael Vick wasn't black, that same how much time he got, how much money they took from him would not have happened. Yes, he would have been in trouble, but if he wasn't black, they would have never threw him all the way to the wolves like they did if he weren't black.
Well, yeah, funny that you said it. When's the last time you heard about Ben Roethlisberger in a rape?
Exactly. So please, Omar, you proving my point and shit? What the hell? That's what I'm saying. Ben Roethlisberger had the same allegations, multiple, that Jameis Winston had, and he is not anywhere near as hated, and he's beloved. He's the man. But Jameis Winston, every time somebody brings his name up, they bring up rape and crab legs. Are you serious? There is definitely racism in the NFL. Definitely. And I'm sorry, but the league is dominated by black players. But to me, and this might not be true, but this is what I feel watching this game for over 30 years. What I've seen is a league that doesn't think black athletes are cerebrally, is that right? Cerebrally capable of running a team. Your quarterback is your GM, is your offensive coordinator, is your head coach. He has the game in his hands at all times, and I believe that position has always been held for a white player. And now we're seeing teams that are like, well, shit, these black dudes are getting it done. And anytime they get in the league, they always find anything wrong. I cannot wait for them to find something wrong with Dak Prescott. I can't wait. I can't wait. And the Cowboys is America's team. I can't wait to see if they try to pull some bullshit and try to say something's wrong with him or he did something in his past so they could hate on him. I really hope they don't, but that's generally what happens to a black quarterback. They get all the money. They don't want to do that. That's just what it is. It's what it is. And I'm okay with it. I just wish that they would just say it.
The game is rigged.
Just like I'm okay with receivers being able to push corners the entire game, do whatever they want. Yeah. But if a corner sneezes near the receiver, it's a flag. Just say it. I'm okay with it. Just say it.
Nah, they never gonna say it.
Never.
It's about ratings. I don't know.
It's about points and fantasy.
We'll be able to see and evaluate based on, you know, the top two quarterbacks coming out of college supposedly right now are both African American.
Yeah, heard that.
Watson kid and the University of Miami quarterback, Brad Kaya. So it'll be interesting to see. And both of those kids are probably a little bit more talented than what you saw in Jared Goff. But it'll be interesting to see what they say about them in terms of whether or not they're cerebral enough to have success in those positions.
Wow. Wow. I can't wait to.
Jameis Winston was undeniable. You couldn't deny
you can't.
That he was a great leader.
You can't deny
you
it.
Couldn't deny
he's
that
a
he
dog.
Was a playmaker.
He's a dog. Yes. He has an attitude about him. Like, I am so excited. I don't even care. I care if we win, but I don't. But I'm just excited to have somebody under center that is giving no fucks about anything. He's out here to play football and win, and he has all the tools. So win or lose, good or bad, I know I have a quarterback, and I like to cheer for quarterbacks. And you can't deny Jameis. You can't deny him.
No, you can't deny Jameis. I think it's about the moxie and the attitude, and I hate to bring up other quarterbacks on your show, so I will let them remain nameless. But that was when I saw Jameis Winston have sort of confront his teammates, his former teammates in that college game.
Oh my God!
I mean, it sent chills down your spine, and it reminded you why players always respond to those kind of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And why they play just a little bit harder. And then I thought back to some quarterbacks in this league, and they can never have that kind of emotional outburst or challenge their teammates like that. If they did that, someone would laugh at them. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what's missing from some quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of them, and that's an edge. That's something that you can't teach that. That has to be already inside of them. And if they don't have that in them, they can be great. But to me, and you're right, there's a lot of, in sports in general, the leader of your team, granted, everybody's out here trying to play hard. Nobody wants to play like shit, you know, all that. But when you have somebody that's giving you a chance to win, and that's what players really want to do is win, when you see a leader like that and you have him, you know what I'm saying, riding with you and backing you up, it does make you play harder, but it also makes you feel better about even if you lose, because you know that you went down with a G. You went down with a guy that's a baller, that's about something, that gives a fuck. You know what I mean? So win or lose. Yes. Yes. So even if you lose, it's like, damn, but we lost with Jameis. At least we got Jameis. You know, because losing with some of these other quarterbacks, it makes you not want to get up in the morning and go to work. You know, and that's difficult. That's difficult. It's difficult to have a car accident with some other, you know, of arguably the most athletic people in the world for 3 hours on Sunday, knowing the guy that has all the power has no balls.
Yeah, I've been there.
I know. We both have.
I've been there. It'll get better one day. It'll get better.
So I wanted to talk to you. I mean, did we cover the game? Did we even finish it? Did we? Is that was it? That was the game.
Yeah. I mean, the physicality, the outcome.
That was the game.
Feel bad for the kicker.
Feel bad for who? The kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got iced. He got iced. Man, I knew when he made the first one, I was like, yeah, he should have. I don't know if he should have even kicked it. If you do kick it, I generally presume when someone kicks that ball, knowing that they're going to, because the whistle was already blown, he just kicked it just to practice, I'm assuming. You're supposed to just boot the shit out of it. You're not supposed to, like, try to make it. You're supposed to just, like, get your leg, you know what I mean, loosen up your leg and get your ass, you know, your ass muscle, you know, active and get ready to really focus. And he looked like he legitimately tried to make the first one. And I'm like, what is he doing? And I'm no kicker, but
I disagree with you. I think you should try to make the first
one. No, because what?
Test out the wind.
What happens if you miss? And you really tried to make it. You see what I'm saying?
You need to get your act together for the second time.
Nah, I think missing the first one. I don't say you have to miss it, but you definitely don't, like, you just boot it. You just kick it. Just get your. It's a free kick. It's almost like going out and doing a whole bunch of, like, shooting some jump shots before a game. Like, you just get some shots up. Like, nah, I wouldn't have tried to make it. And it looked like he really tried to make it. And then look at the second one. It was terrible.
I think they all try to make the
I'm going to have to
second,
ask.
The first one.
I'm going to have to hit Matt Bryant.
That's a good question. I will try to ask.
I'm going to ask Matt Bryant that. I'm going to ask him because he's one of the dopest ones ever to do it, man. I love him. But poor kickers, they have one job. One job. And
nah, man. You get paid all week to jerk off practice.
Yeah, but you got one
kick the damn ball and make it.
You got one damn job. You got one damn job. And if you don't do it, it's your fault. Like, everyone thinks that it's the kicker's fault. No one's thinking about all the other plays that brought them to being down in the first place.
You had one job. Just do your job.
One job.
What if
the quarterback came back to the sideline and somebody said, you had one job after he threw an interception? You had one damn job, okay?
Yeah.
Don't throw the interception is your one job. That's what you don't do. You can punt it, you can get a field goal, but your one job is not to throw an interception.
Hey, and the same thing with running backs.
Yeah, one job. Don't fumble.
Don't fumble.
You got one goddamn job, receiver. Catch the ball. If it touch you, just catch it.
Yeah. You got quarterback. You got one damn job. Keep that receiver in front of you.
Right.
Don't let him score.
Don't let him get by you. But you know, it's more difficult than that because you know if you think about the numbers of it and how many times.
Nah, not for no kicker.
No.
Not
I'm
for
saying
no kicker. You got one damn job.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying for a quarterback, you might throw the ball 30 times in a game. A kicker might get three opportunities, maybe one. And if you mess it up, it's like you're dead. You ruined it. It's your fault. Yeah. It's all your fault. It's really not fair, but yeah, it is his fault.
it is his fault.
It's really not, but it is low key because he did have one job. He really had one job, but I'm not gonna hate on the kicker. I'm not gonna do that. Let's change subjects real quick. I know you're going to Seattle tomorrow. I'm going to Atlanta. Yeah. You know I'm not covering the Bucks this season. I'm not gonna do it. I don't have time for people saying I'm a distraction in the locker room. Speaking of, before we get into where we're going this weekend, can we talk about distractions for 1 second? Because we got a little bit of time. How is it that, let's say, a player's wife tweets something? You know, let's just say her name's Aisha or Miko, you know what I'm saying? One of those names. And she tweets something, and the media and everybody says she's a distraction to the game. But if a front office gets wind of some dirt, let's say your name is Deshaun Jackson and they want to put you out there as shady, bad person, gang related, because they want to find a way to decrease the amount of money you can command, how come the front office is allowed to give out these sources say distractions, but a player distraction is not welcomed? Why do you think that is?
Because of who's providing the information and what it's coming from and what it does and the agenda of the person who's leaking the information. I mean, it all comes down to who's leaking the information and
but
why.
A distraction is a distraction, right?
Yeah, I don't believe in I don't believe in
there. I was going there next. There's no fucking such thing as a distraction. My husband's making $8.5 million this year. I guarantee you nothing that's happening on Twitter is getting in the way of getting that $8.5 million. I can guarantee you that.
Doesn't matter.
If you're distracted from social media and things that are happening there, guess what? You're not going to be in the league long. You're not.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of them are going to be in the league long. But
that's why the average is 3.5 to 4 years.
Yeah. A lot of times, a lot of these people who are, you know, something came out this weekend, and I say something. I tweeted out that, you know, Seahawks aren't as talented as people want to portray them to be from a depth roster standpoint. They've just got a great system. There's nothing that I said that was wrong.
Right.
But it was gassed up as if, I said Seahawks were trash.
Well, you did say another tweet that said something about the game was going to be won in the trenches and it could go either way. Something like that you said.
Where games won and lost? They lost in the trenches. The Dolphins have the edge.
Games are also won and lost on the quarterback's hand as well. Now, the trench play comes into play when... This is just my opinion. When the quarterbacks are equal, then the trench play is effective.
When the quarterbacks are equal, trench play comes a big factor.
Yes.
If the quarterback play is not equal, it's probably irrelevant. I will agree with that.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I think people... that's what I got mad at. Not that I was mad at you. I was just like, come on, Omar. You can't say Ryan Tannehill versus Russell Wilson and say the trenches is where the game's going to be won.
he's already beaten Russell Wilson once. They've only played once. He's beaten Russell Wilson once, and I believe he did play well in that game. I can't remember. It was just so long ago.
It was so long ago, Omar. I can't believe you even brought that shit up, knowing that the Seahawks have gone to the Super Bowl twice in the last 4 years. I cannot believe you brought up a single win
that they were heavy underdogs in that game too, and it did happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen again, because don't think that the mind is going up to Seattle and winning, but it did happen. The question is, can the Dolphins quarterback play at a higher level, or can the Dolphins defense get Russell Wilson to lower his level of performance?
I think
neither will happen, but it is a possibility.
I just don't understand why you think there's a possibility. I would go more on the side of there isn't a possibility and then see it happen, because I've been watching Tannehill for 4 years and I have not seen it happen. So I'm trying to, I don't know. I would be more on the side of it's not going to happen. If it does, like, oh, I was wrong. Wow. Shocking. Because
yeah. I mean,
it's year five. Dolphins, it is year five.
If the Dolphins manage to beat the Seahawks, it will be the biggest upset of week one.
Yeah, and the best advantage they have of beating the Seahawks, to be quite honest with you, is because it's week one. That's why, because you haven't seen anything. You don't know what they're really going to do.
You have no idea what Adam Gase's offense
is like. You don't know anything. And that's why, remember a couple years ago when I predicted that we would beat the Patriots week one? And I said that was why, because they're not going to be able to adjust. When they come into the game, they've already seen you on film week two, three, four, five, six. But week one, they haven't seen anything. And so if we could just hang on, we would beat them. Remember we smacked them that game?
Yeah,
and then we went on to not make the playoffs and not be shit the rest of the season.
it's the Dolphins' way.
Yeah, so I think the Seahawks' only disadvantage in this game, truly true disadvantage, because there's a lot of advantages, and it starts with the quarterback, and it starts with the defense, and it starts with the secondary, and it starts with the run game, everything. But the fact that they don't know what the Dolphins are going to be doing, that's an advantage to me.
Yeah, it is an advantage. The question is, can they exploit it? And being without Devontae Parker, I would say the odds of that happening are very slim.
Yeah. So you're going to Seattle tomorrow. I'm going to Atlanta tomorrow. I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
You going to turn up?
Back to the Georgia Dome. I wonder how they're going to receive me.
As Falcons fans, they even think about you no more.
You know, there are some that are. I have a lot of strong Falcon supporters, believe it or not. The fuck boys are always the ones talking the loudest, but I just want to know how some of the fans are going to receive me, because I haven't been very nice about their team since I left. And it wasn't like it was bad, like I did Tannehill and all that.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't like a bad divorce.
No, and everybody's trying to say that the same thing that happened in Miami happened in Atlanta. Why are people saying that? That is so ridiculous to me that people are even saying that. It was not even close.
And it's funny, because I still have these same conversations all the time, and people don't get it, and they don't understand. I think you should stop throwing shade at Tannehill. Everybody knows he's who he is, and you just keep calling the baby ugly, and you're hurting their feelings.
Yes.
And yes. But, don't bring you up, and you won't have no beef.
No.
You won't have no issues. Like, a reporter wrote a column about Ryan Tannehill being captain. Take that, Pico.
Like, how embarrassing for the entire organization. A fucking reporter for the Dolphins wrote an article saying, take that, Miko, Ryan Tannehill was voted as a captain of the team. Do they really think for one fucking second that I believe if they didn't vote for him that they would tell us? Ryan Tannehill would have been the captain whether they voted for him or not. Am I right?
And here's the point. Here's what's interesting about the captains. And I really never put too much stock in the captains.
You shouldn't.
Because it's a popularity contest, and everybody's like, well, the quarterback should be captain. We got to vote him the captain. But the biggest leader on the team, the biggest alpha male on the team, Jarvis Landry, wasn't voted the captain. So what does that say?
Sick.
What does that tell you?
You know what that tells me? That tells me that
there's nobody in that locker room who doesn't know that this is Jarvis Landry's team.
Well,
he wasn't voted the captain.
I already know what that tells me. That tells me I've heard some rumors, and I don't know if they're true, but I heard some rumors that he might be not getting as many balls as he usually gets because he's going to be up for a contract next season. So they might be trying to pull a Lamar Miller on him. I don't see how it's even possible considering that he's the number one target.
He's got 2 years on his deal left. They're not going to favor him as much as they have, and God, please don't favor him as much as they have, considering he's caught more passes than any other receiver in NFL history in his first 2 years.
Ridiculous, right? And if you count how many of them was 3-yard catches, you die.
I mean, they're just check downs.
Yeah.
They're just check down passes. If he was on pace for 15 yards per reception,
then it would be something.
Catching that many balls, then it would be something. But, yeah, I think you need to turn down the volume on Jarvis Landry to make him more effective.
Yeah.
But I think that is the approach that's going to happen if the quarterback buys in.
We
all know.
We all know
he likes his blankie.
Oh my
buys
God.
In terms of
and not give him the ball.
Buys in terms of throw your number one and number two reads as opposed to throwing the Jarvis Landry.
It's going to be very interesting to see because I know how shady the business is. So I've heard some rumors that was going to happen to Juice. So I cannot wait. I really
they got him locked up for 2 years. And I would tell you if they don't get a new deal done in 2000 in the offseason of 2017.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. They're going to slowly try to.
Not this offseason. Next offseason.
So you mean 2018?
Yeah, because he's locked up for the next 2 years. The problem is he's probably not going to come to camp unless he gets a new deal.
Exactly.
And I damn sure wouldn't come to camp.
But that's why I think that they're going to be early on this and early trying to lower his number so he doesn't feel like he can command the type of salary that a number one target deserves.
If they think that they can get Jarvis Landry, a non-injured Jarvis Landry, locked into a five-year deal for less than $60 million, they're delusional.
I can't wait to see.
No matter what numbers you give him, no matter what how many times you throw him the ball, like, you know, you're not going to play around with Jarvis Landry, especially when he's the face of your franchise right now.
Yeah.
We've been here before.
Well, we've seen some dumb shit happen before. I've seen this. I've watched this movie before. And I know exactly how it ends. And I'm just going to wait and see if it ends the same way or if they give me something new. And I'm like, oh, wow, something new. So I'm gonna be watching. But I guess we can get out of here, man. I thank you so much for joining me, man. I can't even. I know you got up out your bed. I blew up your phone. And you were on 6:10 this morning.
It's all good. Anything to you. You know, anything to you.
Everybody thinks we're sleeping together. You know that, right?
Yes, I know. I'm quite aware. They think I got
you got up out of your sleep because you know, I'm going to give you a favor next time I'm in Miami.
What? What did you say?
People think that when I fly to Miami randomly that I'm going there to sleep with you. This is what some of my tweets have been. that's why
that's
I'm flying.
Your tweet?
Yes. That's why I'm flying there to sleep with you.
Yes.
People are so ridiculous.
You ain't come through.
I was in town for 4 days, and I meant to go by your house, but, you know, I was doing all those bachelorette party. You know, I was hosting a bachelorette party weekend. So shout out to my L.A. Girls that flew in for Labor Day, and I showed them a good time in Miami for the bachelorette party. But, Omar, I'm going to let you get out of here. I appreciate you as always. And I'll see you on the bye week. If I don't see you before then, you take care of yourself and try not to let these fans stress you out too much.
Yeah, man. I ain't talking about no Kaepernick. I just can't.
I see.
I can't. I don't need that kind of I'll take on a lot of things, but I will not take on racism. I just can't.
I know you don't want to. Yes, you never wanted to talk about it when we were on the air. I used to always try to get you to talk about it, and you used to be like, Miko, we can't do that.
It's a special kind of person that comes out when race is brought up.
Well, and that's who I like to be 24/7.
I can't do them battles.
I feel you, and I respect your silence, just like I respect anybody else that chooses to stay silent, and everybody needs to respect those of us that choose not to stay silent.
Yeah, that's true. I appreciate you for not staying silent, but yeah, man, my piece is too important for me to deal with that kind of hatred.
I feel you, and I got no shade for you. You have a good weekend, baby.
Yeah. All right, talk to you later.
All right, peace. My old partner, Omar Kelly. I miss him so much, man. If you guys were around and heard me and Omar on the radio, it was freaking gold. We used to talk about all the things no one else could talk about. And you know why? Because there was a wife with a microphone. Like, why else? Why wouldn't you believe a wife who's an ex-pro, who went to broadcasting school, who knows football like she knows her sport, which is basketball, and lays next to the man that plays on the team? How do you not follow me? How do you not believe me? What is it that I'm saying that makes you think that I would get on this microphone with all the money I have in the bank and lie to you? Why would I do that? Everything I'm doing right now is coming from the heart. I could be sitting at home doing absolutely fucking nothing and my life would be just fine. But I'm doing this because I love it. It's because I went to school for it. I'm passionate about it. And I'm going to continue to do it. I don't care how people are talking all this shit. Oh, you're not getting a lot of listens. I don't give a don't worry about my listeners. We are good. I have a dope following. I respect all of them. And all of them don't even like me. But all of them respect what I'm doing. And I appreciate that. So everybody, please, trust me. You should listen to me. I'm never going to lie to you. I might not tell you something, but I'm not just going to get on this microphone and just tell you a flat out lie. It's just not going to happen. So we're going to have a real good time this football season, okay? I'm not going to cover the Bucks. I just don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like anybody trying to use me again to get clicks. That's all they do is put Meeko Grimes and everybody click, click, clickety, click, bang, 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 and they get paid. I'm tired of paying these motherfuckers bills. So I'm not going to discuss the Bucks. I'm going to discuss all 31. I'm going to have my podcast out every Monday. I'm going to break down the Monday night game before it comes on, and I'll give you a recap of Sunday, some of the highlights. I'm not going over every fucking game. And then I'll give you a preview for the next Sunday of some of the highlighted games. That's how we're going to do it. If there's any other issues and things I need to talk about, I might jump on from, you know, a different day, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Thursday, whenever I feel like it. But please expect this podcast every Monday. I'm going to do my best to come through for you guys every week because you're showing me so much love. I appreciate you, and I will see you next week. Peace.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.